Are you a fan or a follower of Jesus? Let me illustrate that point or that question a little bit by using a sports analogy. I had a friend of mine when I met him several years ago. He was a big University of Texas football fan. He had like UT scrubs. He would talk about it all the time. He would be talking about the games and just huge fan, right? And then I'm an OU. I went to OU, and so OU Texas were a big rival. So we would spar with each other a little bit, and so just this huge Texas football fan. He didn't go to school there. I don't even think he grew up in Texas, but was a big fan. Fine, no big deal, right? But then I noticed several years later, he wasn't talking about Texas football anymore. Now he was an Alabama football fan, right? Now he's wearing the Alabama hat. Now he's wearing the Alabama shirt. Now he's telling everybody, well, I was born in Alabama. I started to think, what happened to Texas, right? What happened? They're still playing. But I think we all know the answer, right? He was a fair weather fan. He's the kind who I love that group when they're doing good. When they're winning championships, it's great. Oh, they're not doing as good anymore. Well, look, this team now has, they're doing good, right? And so that's a fair weather fan. The opposite of a fair weather fan is the person who cheers for the team whether they win the championship or not, right? They're the one who, I've done this, I'm boasting myself a little bit, who sat in miserable cold and rain to watch your team, your school, get annihilated. As the half the stadium is empty, you're sitting there watching them, right? You're enduring seasons when they're at the bottom tier of the league, and you're happy when they're at the top, right? These are the New England Patriot fans before Tom Brady and after Tom Brady, not just during Tom Brady, right? That's what's going on with fair weather fans, or that these others are followers. They are followers. So that's the difference. Are you a fan or a follower? So I'm asking you again, are you a fan or a follower of Jesus? Well, what's the difference? They both like Jesus. They both are impressed by His miracles. They both love that He's the Son of God. They both desire the blessings that He offers. The difference lies in whether you are willing to pay the cost. The fan likes the good, but when the going gets tough, they walk away looking for something better, looking for something maybe that offers more or is at least easier. The follower is willing to endure the difficulty and pay the cost of following. And there are costs for following Jesus. He doesn't hide them. There is no fine print. He lays them out up front for all to see. And maybe you've been like me. Sometimes you're not remembering what the exact costs are of following Jesus. You're thinking, yeah, I pay the cost of following Jesus. Sure, right? And you quit looking at the monthly bill when it comes in. You've got it on auto pay, right? You assume your weekly payment of coming to church on Sunday covers the cost. Or you think that your semi-regular prayers or Bible reading are all that are required. But I think we will all find that the cost of following Jesus are much more than a prayer before our meals, taking the Lord's Supper on a Sunday, or maybe you go to a Bible class on Wednesday. The cost to follow Jesus, the cost to enter into His kingdom, requires a daily price of denying yourself, submitting to His will, and not being ashamed of Him. Amen. Or as Jesus says it, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Jesus doesn't want fans. He wants true followers who are willing to pay the price to follow Him. Are you willing to pay the cost? So to see the cost of following Jesus, let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Do I have to?
It is turned off.
It is. Shut that. Perfect. Luke chapter 9. We're going to spend our time in Luke chapter 9 this morning. Luke chapter 9. So in Luke 9, Jesus is very likely at the height of His popularity. In verses 1 through 6 of chapter 9, Jesus sends His apostles throughout the land to tell others about Him and His coming kingdom. And to strengthen His message and their message, He gives them the ability to cast out demons and to cure diseases. And obviously this makes a big, major impact. So much so that in verses 7 through 9, we see that the fame of Jesus spreads all the way to the top. Herod the Tetrarch, the ruler over Galilee and Perea, hears about Jesus. All the way to the top. He has already heard about Jesus. And as Jesus' popularity continues to spread, the crowds come from all over to see Him, to hear Him. And in verses 10 through 17, a crowd of 5,000 men follow Jesus to hear Him speak about the kingdom. That's when, obviously, Jesus feeds the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And from John's Gospel, we learn that the crowd calls out, "He must be the prophet." And what do they want to do? They are ready to make Him king right now. Needless to say, Jesus was very popular. This is the dream of everyone, right? Isn't that what we want? We want all of the fans. Everybody knows my name. They're all here. But Jesus doesn't use this frenzy to vault Himself to more power and fame. He doesn't use His popularity to gain even more people that will be His fans. Instead, this is the time that Jesus chooses to explain the cost of following Him. And as we all know, that cost is way too much for many people. And they turn and walk away. So let's read Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. We'll see the cost of following Jesus. Beginning in verse 23, Luke 9, 23. "And He said to all, 'If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of Me and of My words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when He comes in His glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God.'" I want you to notice what Jesus does not say are the cost of following Him. He does not give a checklist of tasks that we commonly attribute to what Christianity looks like. He doesn't say, cost of following Me, attend worship on Sundays. Cost of following Me, sing songs of praise. Cost of following Me, pray every day. That's not what Jesus explains is the cost of following Him. I'm sure we can all agree what Jesus said here is much more extensive, much more demanding. So what are the costs of following Jesus? The first cost that Jesus that must be paid to follow Jesus and that we need to give up is our independence. Jesus states this in verse 23, where He says, "And He said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The first cost of following Jesus gets uncomfortable really quickly. Everyone likes to think they're independent. We all like to think we are in control of our own lives, that no one tells us what to do. Our country was founded on this idea. The idea that we have freedom to make our own choices and live the way we desire. But Jesus is telling His followers to give up that independence. He says, if you're going to follow me, you need to realize that you are not in control. I am. His first way of showing that, and that we are to give up our independence, is by saying, deny yourself. Let him deny himself. A follower's life begins with self-denial. Now Jesus is not calling you to this, to deny any sort of pleasure in your life. That's not what He's calling. He's not calling for an ascetic lifestyle. He's not saying you must live in extreme minimalism where you have, well, I was going to say a house. Let's go with a tent, right? That you have a tent and you have zero possessions. That's not what Jesus is calling for you to do. He's not saying that you need to live in a monastery where you eat gruel and sleep on a rock. That's not what Jesus is saying with deny yourself. He's not trying to take away your beds. He's not trying to take away the fact that you eat out at a restaurant. He's not trying to take away the fact that you watch a game on TV. That's not what He means when He says to deny Himself. Instead, or to deny yourself. Instead, Jesus is calling us to deny our own will. To deny our own desires, to deny our own priorities if they conflict with His priorities, with His teaching. He has to be the one that rules. We'll see that with this next point. That's because Jesus is calling His followers, let me put that up there, deny yourself. The next one, that's because Jesus is calling His followers to deny themselves and submit to Him. He doesn't say submit to Him though, here, right? In verse 23, He says, deny Himself and take up His cross daily and follow Me. Submit yourself to Him is the idea of taking up your cross daily. And I'll say this, I've heard this phrase most of my life. Take up your cross daily. I'm sure we all have it, right? Probably a memory verse that you had as a child if you were going to church, things like that. I'll tell you, I'm not sure I could ever articulate what that meant. The background of this image of carrying a cross is a criminal who has been sentenced to die under Roman rule. I think we all know that. We've seen that, right? We know that's what Jesus did. And the criminal was not only hung to die on a cross, but was also forced to carry the cross to the execution site. To carry your cross was a public sign to everyone that the criminal was now submitting to Roman authority. It was a sign of humility that the criminal now agreed. He's not in charge. The Roman government is in charge. That's what they were doing when they were taking up their cross and carrying it. And that's what Jesus is pointing out when He tells His followers to take up your cross. He's saying that a follower needs to humbly submit to another's authority. The Lord's authority. To take up your cross is to submit yourself to the Lord. Followers of Jesus are not only living a life of self-denial. We deny our will and submit to the Lord's will. We deny our desires if they conflict with the Lord's commands. We deny our priorities and submit to the Lord's priorities. And by doing this, we are saying that the Lord is in control of our lives. I'm not independent anymore. I'm no longer free to make my own decisions. By following Jesus, I am telling the Lord that He can tell me what to do and I will obey it. I am saying, You are the Lord. I'm the follower. To illustrate this point, I want to look at three different men who each have a desire to follow Jesus. And to each of these men, Jesus explains that following Him will require them to deny themselves and submit to the Lord's authority. This is still in chapter 9, but flip to the end of the chapter. Chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. We're going to read that. Luke 9, 57 through 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, him being Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand in the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. With each of these individuals, Jesus explains and is showing that to follow Him requires a shift in their priorities. No longer can their primary concern be their comfort. No longer can their responsibility to their family come first in their life. No longer can they try to serve two things at the same time. Jesus is not saying that He is against you having a bed. He is not saying He is against you burying a loved one. He is not against you saying goodbye. Jesus is saying that to follow Him requires us to give up our own control. Jesus gets to tell us what to do because He is the Lord. So what does that look like for us today? Well, following Jesus may mean we look weird to our friends, our family, our loved ones. Because instead of submitting to what they do and what they want us to do, we are now submitting to what Jesus wants me to do. Instead of going to the family birthday celebration on Sundays, instead, I'm worshiping the Lord at that time. It also looks like a follower is one who is no longer driven by their career, climbing the corporate ladder, because they decide to deny themselves and submit to Jesus, put away the pride, submit to Him in humility. Following means I no longer compare myself to others. Not my friends, not my neighbors. It's not a keeping up with the Joneses attitude. Instead, it's because they're not my standard anymore. The Lord is my standard. I deny myself. I submit to Him. I follow Him. To follow Jesus, I must give up my independent life. I must deny my will and submit to His will. No longer do I make my own decisions. Now I must let him be in control. I must let him guide my decisions. To follow Jesus, I must let him be the Lord over my life. That's the first cost. Let's look at the second cost of following Jesus. To follow Jesus, I must give up my every day. In verse 23, as Jesus was explaining the cost of following him, he adds this one little, very sneaky word, daily. Luke 9:23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." That one little word, daily, Jesus expands the cost of following him. No longer is following him a one-time decision. No longer is my denial and submission to his priority something I do on one day a week. Now I must deny my will for his will every day of my life. And I know that many people miss the daily cost of following Christ. Here's an example of what that looks like. I had a friend in college who would go out partying, drinking on weekends, Friday, Saturday nights, typical college stuff. One day I found out that my friend would stop drinking on midnight, Saturday night. Why, you may ask? Because at midnight, it was now the Lord's Day. 1 minute difference on the clock changed the way he lived his life. It changed his priorities at least for that 24-hour period. Because it's Sunday, now he is going to deny himself and submit to the Lord. And I remember thinking that was utterly ridiculous. Problem was, I wasn't looking in the mirror. Because I was doing the same thing. I wasn't drinking up until midnight on Sunday. But there were things that I was doing in college. I was not maybe denying my lust, controlling what I looked at on the internet. I would dress up and go to church on Sunday morning thinking that that's what it meant to be a Christian, but I would live for myself with my own priorities every other day of the week. I was just as much a hypocrite as my friend. Except I could also add that I was being judgmental and pharisaical towards him. Being a Christian is not something that we clock in and out of like we do at work. As Jesus says, we must daily decide to deny our will, our wants, and our priorities. We must daily decide to submit to the Lord's rule in our lives. We are not to look different on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, than we do on Sundays. To follow Jesus means we live the same every day. We live for Him. In my home life, my relationship with my family, I deny myself and submit to the Lord. This means that I love my wife and children as Jesus loved me. This means that I am patient and kind, not selfish. In my work life, I'm to deny myself and submit to the Lord. This means that I am truthful and honest with my work. It means that I work for my bosses as I would Christ, not to please people, but to live for the Lord. In my alone time, I'm to deny myself and submit to the Lord. This means that I control my lustful desires. It means that I have a life devoted to prayer and to knowing His Word. And I'm sure we can think of other ways that denying and submitting show up in our daily lives. So I'm going to ask you, don't let this reminder of these costs just go by without looking at your daily life. Today, think of parts of your life where you are not submitting to the Lord. Be willing to pay the cost to follow Jesus in your everyday life. Don't hold on to that attitude, that habit, to the detriment of your own soul. That habit won't save you. Following Jesus will. Jesus continues to explain that the cost of following Him... So far He said that a follower needs to give up their independence by denying themselves. He explains that that is daily, to be done every day, not just one day a week. There's one more cost that He is calling us to give up. We need to give up our fear of being different. Look at verse 26. Luke 9:26. For whoever is ashamed of Me and of My words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when He comes in His glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. That's strong language. Ashamed. He says if we're ashamed of Him, then He will be ashamed of me. That's not a good thing. That's where He will say something like, "Depart from Me, I never knew you." When are we ashamed of Jesus? It's when we're afraid of being different. When we're afraid of looking different than everyone else. When we're afraid of what others think of us or what other people will do to us. And Jesus says that this is a cost of following Him. We must give up our fear of being different. We must live unashamed of following Him. This means that we will not hide the fact that we are a Christian. Being unashamed means that we will tell others why we live differently. It's because Jesus is our Lord. Living unashamed means that we will not live differently around our church family than we do with the people at work or with my physical family. We will stand out. We will look weird. We will be ridiculed by others and called names. These are the costs of following Jesus. Are there people or situations in your life in which you're not willing to tell them that you follow Jesus? If so, why? Maybe it's that outspoken coworker whose beliefs collide with the teachings of Christ. You don't want to rock the boat. Or it's an old college friend who knows how you used to live. You're afraid to tell them that you don't live that way anymore because you're afraid of losing that friendship. Jesus says living unashamed of Him is a cost of being His disciple. A follower cannot seek the acceptance of the world over following the Lord. Jesus is completely upfront about the cost of what it is to follow Him and to become a part of His kingdom. He laid them out here in Luke 9. He lays them out regularly in His teaching. To follow Him, I must give up my independence. I do that by denying myself. I do that by submitting to His will for my life and His priorities. We know that's not a one-time cost. It's not just a one-day-a-week cost. That's a daily cost. I must do it every day. I don't limit it to one. And finally, to follow Jesus, I must give up my fear of being different. I must not be ashamed of Him. I must openly live out my faith. I must not seek to be accepted by the world. I must seek to follow Him. Because if I'm ashamed of Him, He will be ashamed of me. There's one more point I want to bring up about the cost of following Jesus. I want you to notice that Jesus paid... I just realized I don't have my mic. Are y'all hearing me okay? Okay, I apologize for that. It sounded fine. Just wasn't sure. Okay. One more point about the cost of following Jesus. I want you to notice that Jesus paid all of these costs also. He's not a king who tells the citizens what to do and He doesn't do it. Jesus paid the cost too. Jesus gave up His independence. He denied His own will and submitted to the Father. That's what He prayed in the garden. My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. He took up His cross literally to show His obedience and submission not to the Roman government, to His Father. Jesus gave up His every day. He did not take a vacation day from obeying the Lord. Even when He was tired or it was unpopular, Jesus always submitted to the Father's will, even to the point of His own death. And Jesus gave up His fear of being different. He was constantly harassed, ultimately killed because He looked different than what the Jewish leaders wanted Him to look like. Yet Jesus was never ashamed to glorify His Father. Are you a fan or a follower of Jesus? This lesson has talked all about the cost. And that can feel overwhelming. I understand that. We all know that it's not just about cost. There are incredible benefits to following Jesus. And as Paul says, the benefits far outweigh the cost that we may go through. We will be fellow heirs with Jesus. We will be glorified with Him. We will be more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God when we follow Jesus. Thank you for your attention.